This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Yawning this morning. Hold on. Wait. That's not me. That's Aaron Green and On the Clock. I need to find something to say. Perhaps a godly day on this dark universe. No, I can't use that too. That's Bremen. Any minute now, I expect Bremen to call and say, you're using my line. You got to find something else to say. I expect him to call and say, this economy is down and that the country is corrupt. So I expect that and I will entertain him when he does that. But I digress. No, I can't use that too. That reminds me of another show, I digress. But I embrace that, But I want to welcome you to Guardian Radio in the AM. And my name is C.A. Nuri, and I am holding on. I am holding on for the next 45 minutes, because, you know, I've got to put in the commercial part. So I'm going to be holding on for the next 45 minutes, and we shall be talking about the economy. We shall be talking about the economy and from a layman's perspective. As you know, I'm not an economist, so I cannot use the technical terms, nor can I say things that is correct in the matter of words. So I'm going to be talking about the economy on what is it that our government should be doing? What is it that we as Bahamians should be doing? What we anticipate from our government? And watching the moves of our government. Right? So I invite you to call in. I invite you to text in and make sure that you tune in and participate inside this particular show. So let's talk about Dubai. The whole show is going to be concentrated on Dubai and the government's move in terms of our partnership, our dealings with that particular country. You know that we have the Saudi Arabians who recently landed here and are doing tours and speaking with the Ministry of Tourism. We sent a special contingent, about 150 people plus, to a convention there in Dubai. And just recently, we sent 19 people plus for an agricultural expose. But I want to know, what exactly is the intention of the government? Why Dubai? Why Saudi Arabia? Why this Middle Eastern money? You know, mind you, any money is good. And I embrace this, and I think that this is a great move by the government. I'm excited about the possibilities, but I want to hear your comments on it. I want to hear your comments on it, on what should we be looking at, right? So recently, the Bahamas signed a memorandum of understanding with Dubai to promote tourism for this island nation. And you know that Dubai deals with oil, but they have now pivoted to concentrate on tourism. They are one of the largest tourism countries right now, right? And I've seen that we have a memorandum of understanding. I'm trying to understand what that means, by the way. And if you can call into the Guardian station and explain to us, I see that we have the text line is 422-GR96, which is 422-4796. You can do that. Or even call us on the telephone lines, which is 323-6232. 325-4316 and 325-4259, and explain what you think this memorandum of understanding with Dubai means. How can they promote our tourism? You know, why would they promote our tourism? What is it that we expect from Dubai? You know, what are we inviting them to come to the Bahamas to do? Why so much interest from the Arabs them to want to come to the Bahamas? I came across a quote recently, right, by a Bahamian. It was a great quote. I laughed. I shared it on my page. a Facebook page, and it said that in Dubai, they does Bill Islands. You hear that? In Dubai, they does Bill Islands in the middle of the desert and make oceans. Whereas in the Bahamas, we just sell islands. That's a big difference. That's a serious indictment. That's a difference of countries and perspectives and mandates. We just sell our islands, whereas these other fellas is Bill Islands. Draw that attention, that excitement, right? So I want to know is, are we inviting them to perhaps buy an island, promote their tourism off-site? You know, what is it that they are coming to the Bahamas to do? And I want to talk about that. I want to get your ideas on that moving forward. I know we soon get a commercial break. I know the producer soon indicate that to me. But I want to put that out there for those who knows exactly what the PLP government's agenda is, right? And those who are in the know, who understands the platform of our government, and just to discuss that, you know? So right after this commercial break, I'm going to go in detail with that. So you're watching Guardian AM, and I'm C.A. Nuri, and I'm holding on. I'm holding on for the next 45 minutes because eventually a decision will be made and there will be one who will come after me, who will be greater, and whose sandals I won't be able to hold. I see you after the commercial break.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
Today.
Hold on, sweetie. Mommy's sending a text.
But Mommy, my teacher said that you're not supposed to text and drive.
I know what I'm doing.
Oh, look, Mommy, the Smith twins. Mommy, watch out!
In 2017, approximately 54 people died as a result of traffic accidents. A percentage of these fatalities occurred as a result of texting while driving. Just taking your eyes off the road for 5 seconds can increase your chance of crashing. Remember, even the smallest voice counts.
Texan.
Brought to you by UB Radio and Guardian Radio 96.9.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
So welcome back to Guardian AM, and again, I am C.A. Nuri, and I'm holding on until decisions are made, and I'm holding on and having a discussion with everybody here, and the discussion is about the economy. Is the Bahamas hurting? Are we going through an economic turmoil? I want to know your opinion. Are we in crisis? Are we experiencing an economic crisis? And if we are experiencing an economic crisis, what are the moves we should be making? Does it seem as if the country is in a crisis mode? Does it seem as if we are taking the situation that we are going through seriously? Does it seem as if we are sober in our going-ons every day? That's what I want to talk about. Are we doing what we need to do? Are we putting in work? Are we secured and safe and sound? Are we in safe harbor? And I want to say that I am not so quite sure. I kind of scared. I and for years, the Bahamas has been growing small, whereas other economies, you know, are moving and growing leaps and bounds. Then came the hurricane, and a third of our economy shut down for a minute. Then came the COVID pandemic, and the whole country shut down, and we lost a lot of money and momentum, and things bring it back, right? We got a new government, and a new government who promised a new day, and they're doing some big moves. They promised some investments. They promised some infrastructure. They promised to invest in the Bahamians. And I want to know, is that enough for us to stay afloat? Because I'm not a good swimmer. I don't save well. I might need the government to give me some help. You know, I might need some advice, right? And I'm watching the moves the government making, and I see that the government is going to the Middle East to get some support. So let's talk about that. Ministry of Agriculture is saying that we need to learn to feed ourselves. That's tough because I try to buy Bahamian products and they're pricey. And I don't have that type of big money. I buy Bahamian onions. I buy it because I like the quality. But them foreign set cheaper. I just buy Bahamian carrots, you know, because I pro-Bahamian. But them foreign stuff cheaper. I used to buy that big bird from out of Abaco. I think they closed down now. That used to be like $10 for that 5-pound bird. But that foreign chicken, cheaper. And I hear the Ministry of Agriculture saying, you know, but you got to buy Bahamian support. We're going to learn to feed ourselves. And I said, but you're breaking me. I only get $150 to spend per week, and I only buy a handful of things. You know, so I understand. So when I see that our government decided to send 19 people, I'm even going to talk about the 150 people they sent earlier to Dubai to dance and sing and take vacation. Because I cool with that. I understand what they try to do. They advertise in the Bahamas, and some people needed a free trip. But when I see our government, agriculture, you know, send a contingent of 19 people, I wonder, is our country in crisis? Are we soberly spending our money? Are we making strategic moves, right? Is this money being sent, this contingent being sent, worthwhile and smart? So I said, okay, what did they send this contingent, this large contingent, to do? I know Dubai is important. They import more than the Bahamas. They don't do much there. They don't, they have oil and everything else. You know, they import their groceries, just like us, right? So I said, we can't be going to Dubai to learn how to farm better. You know, it's better that if we go into Jamaica, because they could farm. If we go to Haiti, they could farm. If we go into Cuba, they could farm. Man, there's big farms I passed when I was going to school in Miami. They could farm in the U.S. too. So why are we going all the way to Dubai? Are they known for farming? Man, if they'd go on to Israel, I'd say, man, stop the Israel, because there's farm in the air, you know? In the middle of the desert, they have a big farm, and they can export, right? So I said, let me go and read up on exactly what they went to Dubai for. And what happened is Dubai is having a Food for Future Summit and Expo. So they're not actually having this food expo, but they are actually hosting this food expo, right? They're having this food expo, and they have specialists from around the world. They're having a specialist from around the world, and these people are saying the best techniques, the best instruments, the best technology, the best type of seeds to be used. Right? And so I said, okay, that's cool. I know why we need 19 people to watch that. But if they say 19 people of the best Bahamians got to go, they got to go. Mind you, I would like to know who all went on the trip, because I'm nosy, right? Just so I could feel comfortable to say, okay, they send the best weed whacker, the best grass cutter to Dubai, right? But they ain't tell me. They just tell me 19 people gone. So I have to be confident that the best people gone, and that we can learn something and bring it back to the Bahamas, and that we'll benefit. But remember, you can call me up, you know, 323-6232 and have this discussion with me. I think we have a call waiting. Go ahead, caller. Let's talk. What you think we're going to Dubai to do? The call is not there?
Yeah.
Oh, you are there. Yeah, man, I'm excited. I'm trying to find out what we're going to Dubai to do. I'm trying to find out, is our country in crisis? Are we going through some economic turmoil? And if we're going through some economic turmoil, should our government be sober in how they spend the money? I see everybody getting raises. Did you get a raise recently? You work for government?
Hello?
I'm here. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, good day. How are you, sir?
I'm blessed and wonderfully made.
That's a very interesting question you're asking. What were they going to survive for? Now, I understand your point when it comes to farming and what they're going to go to buy the farm for. I'm very interested in agriculture, and I've been following it for a while. And the thing about it is those guys in the Middle East is actually farming and growing stuff in the sand. Now, to the defense of the government, we have a very, very thin layer of topsoil in the Bahamas, and we have a lot of limestone, which is similar to the non-nutrients that the sand has. So I'm hoping that they went there to actually try to make or find methods to make farming in the Bahamas cheaper, because it's very expensive because of the labor force and the thin layer of topsoil. You have to slash and burn and put all kind of organic soil and all that every time you reap a crop. And I'm hoping that is what they're doing, because we need to get very serious about farming in the Bahamas, because the COVID virus, the COVID actually flushed out how vulnerable we is when it comes to food security, and we got to get serious very, very quick.
Caller, before you go.
Because the Bahamas is actually 85% of every dollar, maybe almost 90% of every dollar, tourist dollars we done, we just fly back over the country the next day just to feed ourselves.
Hey, caller, before you go, I want to ask a quick question. You mentioned labor and said labor is expensive. Are you one of those, caller, who is speaking about the livable wage instead of a minimum wage? Do you believe that minimum wage needs to increase? Because if you want minimum wage to increase, you can't expect food to go down in price, certainly, eh?
Well, you know, the thing about it is, I think we're doing a lot of things backwards in the Bahamas, because, in my opinion, we are so underpopulated when it comes to the people as a country. That is the reason why the taxes and the cost of living so high. Instead of these boat people come here and they live off the fat of the land and send all these remittances back to Jamaica, Haiti, and the rest of these places, we need to find a way to have them as a part, like a contract, like what used to happen back in the days where our forefathers used to go to South Florida and farm and pick things up. We have to find a solution, and the solution is right there, but we just have to think outside the box and stop being xenophobic when it comes to what's going on in the country. We have to utilize what we have. As Haiti and Jamaicans actually stressed interest to come to the Bahamas, you regularize them, and not that might be a wrong word. You put them on a contract to help us from harm and feed ourselves, and it will be a win-win situation for both parties. And stop being xenophobic on, oh, we ain't letting nobody in the country, the Bahamas was and all that. We're underpopulated, and we can't possibly sustain the Bahamas no more with just our population.
Caller, I appreciate you calling. And thanks very much for calling, by the way. And we've heard that talk about forming a project, you know, a contract to have migrants to come here and work. It's a lot of talk. We ain't close to making that happen. So I hear you. I appreciate what you're saying, but I doubt that's going to happen. And I see I get another caller, but before I go to that call, I want to read a text. CA, no, the government does not appear to realize the times we are in, evident by the huge contingent to Dubai. It appears to be business as usual. we could have zoomed in. You can't be zooming in when you go into Arabia, man. You got to go there physically. You know, you got at least 10, 5 people. But you say you kind of zoom in. Given that the economic and health risk environment we are in, it was a waste of funds, in my opinion. Well, I appreciate the government and what they're doing. You know, they're embracing what is happening. So I'm not going to dismiss the activities. I just say maybe perhaps 19 is too much. Why not send 5? 5 is a good number. 19 is a big number, you know. I have another text. Look, Dubai is leading tourists and convention destination in the world. Why 19 plus people? You know, is it a holiday? And the truth is, Dubai has a niche market. They realize that there are a number of countries who are willing to spend big bucks. They have connection to the government. So they're now apparently targeting government and say, hey, government, I know you all have a budget. We need some of that money that you have inside your budget. And we will host a convention as part of our tourism product and let you come and sit down and spend your money here. And I appreciate that. I'm not mad at them. I'm just saying that I'm watching their gimmick, right? So we have another call. I'm going to listen before I go to the next text. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Hey, it's good to hear your voice. Yes, what you got to talk about the economy today?
Tell the Raja Black, come back. She could do the Zoom from over there just for an hour a week.
An hour a week, eh?
Yeah, so we could just hear her, man. But listen, this is a great conversation, Mr. Nuri. Believe you me, I always appreciate your critical humor, right? And so, the guy that called us now and talk about us being xenophobic, he's somewhat correct, but I don't think it's so much the xenophobia. I think it's just because the Bahamian people are being disenfranchised and then they have this, like, animosity towards foreigners. But let us remember that most countries in the world that you see successful in developed countries, they are cosmopolitan, they are multicultural, and people exchange cultures and ideas and concepts, and this is what make a country go forward, right or wrong?
Yeah, you're right.
And so, yeah, but I don't know, but 100 avocados tree down in Cat Island, right? So we know he's growing the best avocado in the world, right?
See, yes.
Yeah, we know that. But I just wanted to stress that we must get over the xenophobic concept, but and the government must treat the Bahamian people better and us in order for us to stop this.
52. One quick question before you go, and I appreciate your call. Have you ever went to that Oktoberfest cultural expo that happens in October at the Botanical Gardens?
Yeah, I went there before. Yeah, I went there before.
Every single nation in the world tends to be there. I didn't know so many nations lived in the Bahamas, prospering and doing wonders. We need to move from being xenophobic, and we need to embrace. Clearly, we know that farming is labor-intensive, and we have a population in the Bahamas who are prepared to work for less. So yeah, we need to partner with them and say, hey, we have a base pay we're willing to pay, and we're willing to allow you to work here and remit some of your money back to home. That's something we need to entertain.
Yeah, but the thing is, they're saying tourism, they're saying get rid of tourism. But tourism is an integral part of the economy. We can never get rid of tourism. What we should do is innovate. You know, because I just can't see people saying the government is, they may be narrow-minded and lack the clairvoyancy. Like, they had a guy crying about the VAT. This is what I really wanted to say. Just remember that. Of course, we are in an economic crisis, Mr. Nui. Mm-hmm. I saw in the headlines because of Dorian and COVID-19, the revenue, the gross domestic product, has been reduced by $7.5 billion.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we are $7.5 billion. I guess the economy without COVID might have been $15 billion by now, mm-hmm. the gross domestic product. And so when you look at the elites, they have 200 billion, 100 something billion, more than about 100 countries put together. So this is a global wealth transfer. This is nothing to do about COVID. They have induced poverty for a reason. And I'm just tired of our third world leaders buying into this construct from the globalist puppeteers. It's obvious.
Yeah, 52. And I agree with you. No, I agree with you. It seems odd. It seems odd. And I saw that article about the $7 billion. You can see we're in crisis. I can see we're in crisis. But I wonder if our government sees that we're in crisis. Next text says, great show as usual. We going to Dubai for all that oil money. Even Dubai not concentrating on their oil money. They have tourism money. And like 52 said, that there's a narrative that we need to move away from tourism. And I find that strange. We haven't even capitalized on our tourism industry enough yet, right? There's so much avenues, so much crevices that we can take advantage of and delve into, right? But there are some people out there saying, oh, we always talking about tourism. We need to do something else. And I say, something else like what? We are kinda good at tourism. Let's learn to perfect that. Let's build more beds. Let's improve on our tourism product. Let's improve on our services. I mean that a tourism would love to catch crab, and there's no crab catching place in the Bahamas. That when crab season over, I cannot even sell that as a tour. They say, hey, come catch these Acklands crab. You see how I push Acklands in there instead of saying Andrus crab? Just letting you know that we have the biggest crab. Not Andrus. But anyway, I digress. There goes that deja vu with digress word again. But we have another caller. Caller, you on the air. This is Guardian in the Morning, and you're speaking with C.A. Nuri, and I am holding on. The caller hang up. Man, caller, I couldn't read my text. You can't be calling and hanging up, but I know I'm talking kind of longish. Oh, you call, you're back. I'll let you speak now. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air. Caller, you're on the air. Okay, so no caller. Let me continue. Okay, we have another text, right? Mr. Nuri. Hello. Oh, caller, you are there.
Yes, man. How is it
saying? I'm good, man. I'm good.
A godly day is a stock in a waste. We need justice, law, and order in this country.
That phrase is so familiar. It sounds like something I said before, but I'll give it to you. I'm going to let you use that because I don't own that. It owns by another person who says it all the time.
Well, that's Raymond me. Raymond Darlene Ferguson, that's me.
That's you?
Acklands man, yes.
You're Acklands man, too?
That's where my label's Spring Barrett.
What part of Acklands your people are from?
You got all over for that matter. The Darlins, the Johnsons, the Fergusons, the Benavies.
All them's Acklands name.
That's right, they're my people.
Yeah, but it's okay. But we're talking about the economy, though, Raymond. Raymond, when we're talking about the economy, okay. I want to know, are we in crisis? You think things are?
Let me say a couple of things, okay? Number one, our people, those that are in authority, are short-sighted. And some of the people that are not into politics are short-sighted. Here it is. In the earlier days, I remember when I used to grind corn in Auckland, okay? My people used to go on the farm and, you know, bring the corn and stuff like that. And I used to go to the mill and have to grind them. But my main point is, when we had less people in this country, we were able to take care of ourselves. We were selling supplies of our farming produce to America.
Raymond, hey. I can press you on hold there. Who was selling? I know about the ag farm, right? I know who owned it. It wasn't you.
No.
It wasn't nobody who looked like us.
No.
So I hear you saying we. Can't be using we. No. Hold on for a minute. I would like for you not to use we and use the word they, and then you will understand that we need to do something for ourselves. What you're talking about in the past did not happen because they was doing it.
Wait.
I want to know what we doing.
So you missed me. What I'm saying is, right, we used to do the farming. We used to go in the field.
Mm-hmm.
We, our people, mm-hmm. our black people, mm-hmm. our colored people,
mm-hmm.
we used to go in the farm.
Mm-hmm.
We used to take them out. Stop to America to sell.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We used to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But nowadays, our people, the majority of them, are lousy. They don't see all a lot of us want to do. We only want to hang on the block and smoke and sell some drugs, get that fast money. But they're not looking at the principle. And our leaders are short-sighted because the thing is, if you know, at least I know Brave, know when his people used to go to America to sell stuff and farming in Cat Island.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, harness your people whereby those same situation would come back. Don't just have people sitting around, sitting on the block and doing nothing. Teach them.
Thank you very much for your call, Bremen. And I agree with you, Renu. But I take exception when you said that we lousy. Because I come from a family of farmers. My mom was a farmer. My dad was a farmer. My grandfather was a farmer. In fact, my grandfather left the Bahamas and got on a contract, right? My stepfather was a farmer. In fact, he lied on the contract form and said that he was 16 when he left here. He was 13 years old to work on the contract. They farmers. And the one thing they said to me, say, see, so you won't be no farmer because that's hard work and the pay ain't good. So to tell me that you want me to become a farmer, I prefer saying good morning and opening the door in a big hotel and get tip $50 or get you someone a glass of water and get tip $100. You can't blame me and fault me for that because I see opportunity in tourism. I say we need to expand tourism. I get another text, and this text says, morning, Brother Nuri. This Saudi Arabia group should have invest in East Grand Bahama from the mayor of Grand Bahama. Saudi Arabia said, not Saudi Arabia, Dubai said they're interested in Grand Bahama. So I hear you, mayor, and now you're trying to convince the Saudi, like the Saudis don't talk to the people in Dubai. They don't know about Grand Bahama. I hear you. But they're here. I see them meeting with the Minister of Economic Affairs, Chester Cooper. So hopefully, Mr. Cooper is able to do a tour and pay for that plane ticket and show them Grand Bahama, East Grand Bahama, like you said, and let them know that all of this is available for you to invest in. And we can give you some tax exemptions if you consider that, right? Because, you know, these people like discount, even though they're billionaires. But we have another call. Caller, go ahead. Go ahead, caller. You're live on Guardian AM with C.A. Nuri. The caller person hang up too? Or they're still there? Just not speaking. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, guy, how you doing?
I'm doing good, now. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I hear wait for a long time.
Yeah, you know, things change at 4 o'clock, so there's no space for me. But I on now, so we celebrate.
They got to make space for you, man.
But guess what? I on tomorrow, too.
Yeah, praise the Lord. I mean, you might be permanent.
Look where you going.
I have faith, man. I have faith in how you have faith in Dubai.
There you go. I'm still questioning whether I do have faith in Dubai. It seems as if our government has put our ships, and that direction is the Middle East, and that investment will come that way. It seems that way. And I want to know is, do you believe that's where the money will come from?
Hold on. Are you aware where the next World Cup is going to be?
You tell me.
Up in that area in Dubai.
You think so?
They've been a huge World stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, and I always say when you look at commercials, like you watch European football, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, okay, good. That'll make sure you watch them, and you watch NFL. You ever see these about European football? Good example. You ever see these world class commercials like Qatar, Turkey Airline,
uh-huh,
and other airlines? All them advertise at the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
I always said to Minister of Tourism, let's stretch up money and advertise in these sports where the average globe watching it, they see the Bahamas right on the side. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, right?
I'm listening to you.
On the field. It's on the field.
Yeah.
They see the Bahamas on the field because you see Turkey Airlines,
uh-huh,
and you see other airlines.
What's your point? I try to get to the point. I try to understand what you're saying.
My point is, as we expand our horizon, Bahamas is what? Ministry is financial and tourism, right?
Yes.
Two things the government of my government is doing.
Uh-huh.
Spread is being financially,
uh-huh,
and spread is being tourism-wise.
You think so?
Of course. Check it out. And also, you mentioned agriculture. Right now, the technology, the good gentlemen, some companies, or BME companies, building a big agriculture. You need to go check it out. I think it's somewhere in Glastonbury or somewhere.
Yeah.
We call it a greenhouse.
Uh-huh.
Grow everything.
Uh-huh.
Are you aware of that?
Yeah, man, I see the small place. I say it's small because I've been to American. I've been to American farms and see it's big as Nassau. And they're able to export. And then we are carving out what I call an acre and think that it's big. You know, I'm a little concerned because definitely dying for exporting. That's definitely for local.
is my vision for that.
Oh, you have a vision?
My vision for that to be expanded throughout the families of Ireland.
Okay.
It's called Multiply.
Multiply it.
And if you multiply that, you could be covering the Caribbean and Florida.
Caribbean and Florida. Man, you just dream big. I like people who have dreams and visions. The Bible says at the end, in the end times, old men will be dreaming dreams. And
I dream like my greatest prime. You know who's my greatest prime minister?
Who is your greatest prime minister?
You tell me.
I don't know.
So let me ask the president.
Yeah.
How we get here?
Yeah.
How we get to celebrate next year? I think we'll be celebrating our 50th year.
I like what Sir Lyndon did for hold on, Pacola. I just want to say I love what Sir Lyndon did for St. Andrews. St. Andrews is the capital of farming in the Bahamas now, and they have all kind of money down there. So I just want to do that plug, because he's my greatest prime minister too. And he did real work in St. Andrews, and St. Andrews is the best place to go and visit because they have all kind of technology down there.
Well, I give a portion of that to Perry Christie.
No, my point is there is no technology down there. Thanks, Carl, for calling. That's my the audacity. Bowl. My point is, Sir Andrew's hurting. And the idea of people saying that big things happen in the intro. So I have another caller, right? And I have another text, right? And the text basically saying that we must enhance our tourism in the Bahamas. Every island have something cultural to sell internationally. Again, that's from the mayor of Grand Bahama. And remember, that's a Perry Christie idea where they're going to have an anchor project in every island. That was beautiful. I thought it was wonderful when he brought it up. And especially see, no one is saying if we're in a crisis or not. And I'm concerned whether we're in an economic crisis and are we doing enough? And no one is going into detail of that. So I'm concerned. It seems as if business as usual and that money is being spent. People are getting raises and promotions. It seems that that we have the money, that we're rich. And if we're not rich, we have good credit. That's what it is. We must have good credit, right? But I can take this out of court. Caller, go ahead. Caller, you're on Guardian in the Morning with C.A. Nery. I'm good now, producer. Can the caller hear me?
Hello?
Go ahead. How are you doing? Welcome to the show, man. You're live, by the way. Call him, it was dropped. Okay. So another text came. They were planning this Dubai trip years ago. I noticed that every time someone brings things up, that comes up. Always years ago. You know? What menace reason to agreeing to go? He was the one that agreed to it. This administration came in on the end of planning of it. Seriously, ask menace and his agricultural minister. So the text is saying it's menace to blame. I blame menace for everything nowadays, you know? During the COVID, my dog died, Dora. I blame menace because I said, if the COVID didn't come and didn't have a shutdown, I would have spent more time with Dora. And this caller, this texter seemed to continue that thread. We can blame menace for everything, you know? A government will say, man, menace is spending money for like a drunken sailor, right? And that instead of spending on sending 19 people, we can send 5 because 5 is a good number. But we continue things as usual because it appears as if we are not in crisis. And I'm calling you. If we're not in crisis, just tell me. If we're not in crisis, just tell me. And I'll be able to help our government spend the money. Now, again, I believe going to Dubai is a good thing. I believe that we need to take advantage of this expo and see who we can meet there and negotiate and get some good plan. I'm just a little concerned about these big numbers who traveling. Dubai far. The tickets ain't cheap. You know, I just want to know, are we in crisis? Do we have the money? Or are we surviving off credit? I used to survive off credit. You know, everything was placed on the credit card until I missed that one payment. And then I realized I broke. Go ahead, caller. You on the Guardian in the AM with C.A. Nery. Can you hear me? Caller, go ahead.
Mr. Nery.
Yeah, how you doing? Welcome, and thanks very much for calling in.
Auckland's man calling you, okay?
I love Auckland's men. We are the best men in the Bahamas, and we need to promote ourselves more and let these Bahamian women know that there are plenty men in Auckland who need women, you know?
Yeah,
so right. Come down there.
Let me get to the point. Now, we have, we had governments and still got getting governments that don't understand that we as a people had survived on farming back there in the early 40s and the early 20s.
Okay.
Listen, it was people of my color and your color had shipped tomatoes, sweet pepper, oranges all over Florida and the United States at that time.
Mm-hmm.
They had the small boats. Mr. Simonet had banana plantations because America didn't have no banana.
Mm-hmm.
He made the banana run. After the banana dried up in Lutra and Tampa and all those, they went down to South America. He had created this banana shipment, a small boat to carry banana with refrigeration into the United States. But besides that, let me say something and go. We have all of the islands. Auckland ain't doing nothing. Crooked Island ain't doing nothing. Miguana ain't doing nothing. Inagua ain't doing nothing. Listen, why don't the government bring lemons? Lemon right now is $100 a case. Okay? Why we can't produce lemon? Lettuce last month was $3.50 to $4. Why we can't spend some money into the autonomy, into the Bahamian farmer who want to grow lettuce, or who want to grow lettuce, and we grow in tomatoes, we could grow tomatoes outside. These are the things need greenhouses. Lettuce, different things need greenhouses and stuff like that, right? Lemons don't need it. We grow lemons, they grow in lemons and oranges in Israel, in the desert. Why we can't do that? Because we have the land to do it. So nobody believes in the Bahamas. Everybody want to come. All of the merchant class want to do to us as a people. It's the order, the voice of the Florida and the Caribbean to give you to eat. And you buy it, we buy it like a bunch of no dodo and eat it up and make us sick. And we, our government stand by and take the revenue. Why is these people getting sick of a garbage? He got all the land.
Carla, I hear you, and I feel your passion. I feel your passion. I see I have 10 minutes more, and I need to press forward, right? I feel your passion, and I appreciate your concern. And I believe that our government has invested in farming. BAMSI is a testament to that. And kudos to this administration commitment to it. Kudos to the last administration and particularly the Perry Christie administration for thinking that forward, right? Another text says, good morning, CA. One solution that is key to many problems is our country is in need for us to ensure food security. BAMSI is the key. We cannot depend solely for food anymore. And right, and the point is the cost. I appreciate what BAMSI is doing, but can we afford it? Can BAMSI be the only answer? Or we still have to import? But definitely, we understand that when the closure of the United States borders, that we need to have at least some food to feed the, maybe perhaps 10, 15% of us. Go ahead, have another caller. Caller, you on the air? Caller, you there?
Yes, how you doing? C. Allen Johnson.
Go ahead, C. Allen.
Yeah, you know, I always love to, when I have a chance to listen to the shows and participate, but, you know, we always have, why don't we? We should have a show on how do we? Just a couple of points. You know, I hear people talk about, again, like, this is the issue of school food security and BAMSI. There's a difference between food security and food sovereignty. Food security is being able to feed your nation for 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, 18 months, whatever.
Do we have that yet?
No, we don't.
Okay, then continue.
So the point is that what happens is food sovereignty is what BAMSI should be about. Because when you look at what is necessary to feed us for those amount of time.
No, let's pause. Let's have this conversation. What is food sovereignty? I want to understand that concept. You say we do not have food security. So what is food sovereignty?
Food sovereignty is to producing what you need for food security.
See?
Like, you're not depending on...
You with these big words, and now you put in the maze, because I was going to go with you, and then you start confusing me. Give me a better answer for food sovereignty. No.
Sovereignty is being able to produce for yourself.
Okay. See how simple that was?
Right. And so, but food security is like when you say, let's look at our total population, what do we take to feed them for 6 months? And so this is why you have, like, the U.S. have this emergency food thing where they have rice, corn, beans, powdered milk, cheese, peanut butter, all of
that. So you're saying that we need abandon the concept of food security to go to food
security? No, you need both. What you do is you first have a strategy for feeding us for 6 months, whatever amount of time, and you keep that amount of food in the country. It could be integrated into social services because, you know, you have to keep churning rice and these things in for our social safety net. But then what happens is you then look at all of the things that you depend on for food security and says, how do we create a sovereignty by producing these ourselves? And so the food thing is we always take these picks picked at it, at what we want to do, but no one can tell you where the strategy is, exactly how we're going to achieve it, the timeline to achieve it, where we're going to achieve it.
So let's help the government. Let's help the government. Because I know you haven't been elected yet in the halls of parliament, so you cannot influence the policy at this present time. But only give me one or two things, suggestions that you would tell the government that we need to do in order to do food security.
What I would do is...
Let's say that's one. Let's go.
I would take a total look at our social safety net. That's where it comes out of. And I would do an examination of the total population and what would we need to feed them for 6 months.
So do an evaluation on how poor we are. That's what you're trying to say.
No, how poor we are. Because what happens, remember, no matter how rich you are, if the borders close, you're still going to have to eat because you can't eat money. And there's staples that you have, rice, corn, whatever it is.
We don't grow rice, so we talk about pumpkin, banana, peas, and corn.
Right, no, but see, again, can we feed a nation for 6 months on those things? This is what it is how do you keep us healthy and fed, whatever it is, for 6 months? So we look at the things that be necessary in a crisis, in a critical crisis, if their border shut down and no imports is coming in. How do we feed a nation with the basic minimal of nutritional needs for 6 months? And then begin to learn to stockpile those, but would you keep a flow in as things come in?
So you're saying protein. We need to have a protein farm.
Right. No, not a farm. I'm saying we may have to import it because we have to feed 500,000 people on a daily basis for 6 months. The question is, can we produce that volume now or anything? We can't. And so you have to have an import strategy. So at any given time, that 6 months of food is in the country. But if you integrate it as part of a social safety net, let's use an example. Say we have rice as a staple. As every month, we would purge 1 month of rice as we bring in a new set of rice in. How do you purge it? The same social safety net that we have is where they will become part of a distribution process as opposed to not just giving just money, but also saying...
I'm not sure about the shelf value of rice for 6 months, though. I hear you. And you're making it seem impossible.
Yes. No, I'm just using as an example.
So let's use pumpkin, banana, peas, and corn. Things that these grow. I mean, I appreciate what you're saying, you know, but you just move to things I cannot think about.
No, but I'm saying, I know you may be being humorous, but I'm saying...
No, I just want to talk about pumpkin, banana, peas, and corn.
No, those are things that what you could come into what is called food sovereignty. These are things we consume on a daily basis, whatever else. Can we produce this volume to meet these certain needs? What sovereignty means is to stand alone and to exist alone, you know, without others.
So your conclusion means that we should import rice and store it for 6 months in case there's an emergency. That's what I'm hearing.
No, not just rice. An actual menu or dietary needs for 6 months of the population supply food chain. This is not a unique idea to me. You know,
I hear you. You won't convince me, by the way, but no, I hear you.
I'm saying, but then just Google food security strategies from other nations.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying to you, there's a difference food security. Sovereignty. Let's say, for instance, we are saying corn is part of that staple, and we determine that this is the volume of corn we need to feed us for 6 months. Food sovereignty is, can we produce all or most of this on our own as opposed to buying it? That's the sovereignty part of food security. One doesn't exist without the other. Okay? And so what I'm simply saying is that we often talk with these so-called ideals. You know, we just say things like, we're xenophobic. If we're xenophobic, we shouldn't be in the tourism business. That's just a word we throw out there. Okay? We say, we need to expand out of tourism. Okay, can anybody explain how tourism works compared to hospitality and how they intertwine with each other? Because one is what people experience, the other is what people do. You know, we talk about Grand Bahama and absentee. So it's like what I'm simply saying, we are in a crisis of this country. Our GDP, at least 50% or more of our GDP has disappeared. So we have to move into building. We talk about these so-called new global economic models, And again, they go back to, why don't we do this? Why don't we do the blue economy?
And see, Alan, I appreciate that. And it, now it's 11:59 and my time is up.
Yeah, thank you so
much. I want you to call back. I want you to call back, but I want to pick your mind over that because you didn't convince me, by the way. It's a lot of words. It's a sea of words.
I
can't have you talk because the show over. The show over, and I got to pay the bills, you know. And I got to come back. You can't have me. They fire me already. But thank you very much for joining me with Guardian in the Morning. My name is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be back. I shall be back tomorrow to have another provocative conversation. You take care.